And can the lights go down? Because it might make it easier to see the screen and the images on the screen. Some of you were unable to make it yesterday evening. And some of you were able to make it yesterday evening. So I'm going to do a little summary of the discussion yesterday, both for as a refresher for those that you were here and a glimpse at what we discussed. Repetition is sometimes necessary for clear understanding, right? Prabhupada spoke like that. The theme of this japa retreat is pictured here. The holy name is everything. And the phrase comes from a very beautiful song, 8 verses, where the refrain of the song is Harir Nama Eva Kevalam. The holy name of Hari is everything. So together we sang that beautiful song led by Badahari Prabhu. And then we discussed the appearance. It's nice, just like how did Krishna appear? How did Govardhan Hill appear? How did Radharani appear? There's wonderful narrations of how the appearance of something. We celebrate the appearance day of these events. So how did the holy name appear? And together we sang a very beautiful song by Narottam Das Thakur. One of the phrases was this one, Golokira Premadana, Harinama Sankirtana. So the advent is from Goloka. As you see, this is Goloka in the spiritual sky. And Radha Krishna descended. Of course, they descended when he made his appearance in Vrindavan. But he also made his appearance in the form of the holy name. Hari Nama Sankirtana, directly Premadana, giving the gift of Prema. And that was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made that wonderful gift to the world. And specifically, love in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, that was his gift. Very, very special. What no other incarnation of the Lord has ever offered before, even to those who don't want it, even to those who are unqualified, please take it, was Mahaprabhu's appeal. Then we spent some time discussing how to receive that gift. And mention was made of a statement by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and others that chanting is more than merely reciting the external syllables of the holy name. That does not mean that one is truly chanting the holy name. So then we discussed the nature of Sankirtan. Nama Sankirtan is it has this external element, what the tongue and the lips and the vocal cords do, but it has an internal, and our time together is going to be focused on the internal feature. These two, complete attentiveness along the lines of what Ratavija Maharaj expressed, the essence of chanting is intention, attention, and retention. And then perfection. Repeating because it helps us to remember. So along with complete attentiveness, striving for complete attentiveness, there's a mature stage of attraction for the name and the process of chanting itself. The name, meaning, you know, the object, the vishaya, and then the process, abhideya, the process of chanting. And you didn't see this image yesterday, but I've added it. Something that I heard Srila Prabhupada say, on many occasions, I found fascinating and puzzling at the same time. He said on many occasions, the living entity is both conscious and consciousness. Living entity is both conscious and consciousness. I knew he meant something by that, and it was something that's profound that I also knew I didn't understand what he meant. So we kept pondering on it and pondering on it, and eventually came across something in Jiva Goswami's Tattva Sandarbha where he explains, using the example of a lamp. That's why the image is there, a lamp. Now, a lamp as... A lamp is both luminous and it lights up things in the room. The Vedic language is pots and plates, meaning stuff, or the soul is conscious and consciousness extends to be conscious of things. And Krishna consciousness means the soul is intrinsically conscious. You'll see the connection between this message and where we're going next with the Shikshastakam verses. Consciousness that's dull or covered or contaminated consciousness just goes to stuff without consciousness of Krishna. And the process that we're being invited into by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to become conscious of Krishna. In the topmost feature of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan and his loving exchanges with the residents of Vrindavan, to become literally conscious of that. So an image that I like is this next one, Michelangelo. Now Michelangelo's painting has to do with creation, where life, the lifeless body of Adam is given life by the touch of the hand of God. That's consciousness enters into the body. But our chanting of the holy name, this internal effort, is to extend our consciousness, not necessarily away from stuff, but towards Krishna, and seeing stuff or dravya or objects of the senses in relation to the one who is the proprietor of those objects of the senses, Krishna. While living in the world, Krishna consciousness is best awakened in this age of Kali by the chanting of the holy name. And the fruit is then chanting and dancing like those wonderful prayers by Namalvar, of the chanting, dancing, raising of one's arms and abandoning all sense of external propriety and simply celebrating the Supreme Lord in the form of His holy name. So that's a little summary of what we discussed yesterday. Now, that part of the reason for going through this is, again, is to show the connection between that the holy name is everything, and the system that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu provided for entering into the holy name to the stage of perfection. And that's found in Shikshastaka. And the first verse of the Shikshastaka is a quick introductory summary. So that's what we're going to be doing this morning and this afternoon, at least my part of this. How to receive the gift of the holy name and step by step go to the stage of perfection in one verse. So it's packed. We'll have to unpack it a bit. So here's Shikshastaka 1, and we can say it together. Chito darpana marjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam shreya kairava chandrika vidharanam vidyavadho jivanam anandam bodhivardhanam pratipadam purnamritasvadanam sarvatma snapanam param vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam. So we recite this just like we may recite a verse of Bhagavad Gita. Children can be taught to recite verses of Bhagavad Gita, and that's nice. But ask them, what's the meaning? I don't know. So we're going to try to enter into the meaning. There's a text in Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sanatana Goswami that says, when you say a mantra, you should, while saying the mantra, you should meditate on the meaning of the mantra. In many temples, these Shikshastika verses are recited every morning. And we should meditate on the meaning as we recite them. So this is an attempt. How to go from the gift and receiving it, saying yes to the gift, and go to the stage of perfection in one verse. There are two texts. One of them exhaustively is Bhaktivinoda Thakura's Sri Bhajana Rahasya, where he declares and then unpacks it that the eight verses of Shikshastika are, he doesn't use this language, but like a treasure map. You know, when you're a little kid, there's this thing of a treasure map, and there's this treasure that's meant for you, and but you have to follow this, you know, mysterious map to get from where you are to where the treasure is. Similarly, Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, the Shikshastika verses are Lord Chaitanya's instructions in how to chant the holy name so that one can receive the gift of the holy name that he wanted to give. The perfection of love for Krishna as the residents of Vrindavan experience, and specifically the love of Krishna that Radharani is experiencing and her expansions, the gopis. He wants to give that gift. And Shikshastika is a map. I have a lot of appreciation for Rabindra Swarup Prabhu, as do those that in the room that know him. And he is entered into a stage of GBC emeritus so that he can focus on writing. And anybody that's read anything that Rabindra Swarup Prabhu has written knows that he's known in ISKCON as our best writer. He's the best. There's other good writers. He's the best amongst the good. And so some time ago, I had to contact him about something else, and just the beginning of the conversation, asked him, you probably had many, many projects that you wanted to work on as writing projects. What's the one you're working on? What's the one you selected? And immediately, he launched into a description of this. What he's doing, and he's writing about what his experiences are, is, keeping it in simple terms, following Bhajana Rahasya, following Bhaktivinoda Thakura's instructions in how to perfect one's chanting with deep meditation in Shikshastika, and describing what his experiences are one by one. I can't wait to read it. I'm hoping to pay a visit and just, you know, sit next to Rabindra Swarup Prabhu while he's chanting, and as we'll all have the opportunity here in the temple when we're tomorrow doing 64 round day, and depending upon how, you know, inspired you are by different things that you hear in the course of today, it will help you tomorrow. And in the company of others that are similarly absorbed, it will help you. So here we go. This morning, there will be time only for the first three out of the eight, but they're very important. The first of the excellences, or the seven sections, Cheta Dharpana Marjanam, starts with this word Cheta. And I'm not a Sanskrit scholar. Something that I've learned about Sanskrit is that a word may have multiple meanings, and according to the context, that's the meaning you should take, a Sanskrit term. And Cheta, Prabhupada has chosen to translate Cheta as the heart, or in some cases the mind, cleanse the mirror of the mind. So what's the difference between the heart and the mind? Very interesting. Day before yesterday, one of the participants in the program, somebody that's maybe 10 years old, wanted to know what's the difference and similarity between the mind and intelligence. It's a natural question to ask, but I've never been asked that question before. I've pondered it and researched it. So anyways, there is a distinction. That's not the topic right now. This Cheta is the heart and sometimes the mind. So what I thought I would do, it can mean on the material side and it can mean on the spiritual side, depending upon the context. Just like the soul is conscious and consciousness. So the soul is pure, but consciousness may be contaminated. Bhakti is pure, but our consciousness may be contaminated, and therefore bhakti may be mixed with the modes. There's a whole chapter about this in chapter 29 of Kapila's teachings to Devahuti. Bhakti is pure. Is it possible someone's in the modes that bhakti can be mixed with the modes? Well, of course. Bhakti isn't mixed, but consciousness. So there's contaminated and there's pure. And Cheta can be used for both. So bear with me. This is my appreciation, my penchant for carefully reading Prabhupada's books so that you can get the big picture of something. So you don't just jump at this one because it says this over here, or jump at that one because it says over there. What's the big picture? Because this first text, Cheta Dharpana Marjanam, it's a big one. How do we get from the impure to the pure? What does it mean? How does it work? So, five or six different references from scripture, and I'll do them chronologically within the Bhagavatam. Canto 3 begins with Vidura meeting Uddhava. After Uddhava has heard the entire Uddhava Gita, he's now heading, as Krishna instructed him to do, to go to the devotees of Naranarayan Rishi in the north country, and Vidura's on pilgrimage and he meets Uddhava. And as soon as he meets Uddhava, it's Uddhava! And as soon as you see Uddhava, who do you think of? Krishna! How is Krishna? How is Balaram? And, you know, recites the names of the different devotees and Dwarka, because that's where he resided with Krishna in Dwarka. And Uddhava's response is he becomes completely silent. He enters into a trance. where he's with Krishna in his mind, and he struggles to come to external consciousness so that he can be of service to Vidura. It's really beautiful. Read the Bhagavatam. It's really beautiful. And then when he begins, he makes this reference to this word cheta. And one of the references, it disturbs the mind or the heart of Uddhava when people think of Krishna as ordinary, because he knows he's not. So he says, Krishna, when he rescued Vasudeva and Devaki from the prison house of Kamsa, he came before them with Balaram, with folded palms, saying, I'm so sorry. I left you when I was very young because I was afraid of Kamsa. Please forgive me. And then Uddhava says to Vidura, this disturbs my cheta. That's his spiritual consciousness in that context. Because it disturbs him, because when he says like that, people think he's like that. But it's just part of his loving affection with Vasudeva and Devaki, so that they can see him as their son. I was afraid of Kamsa. Come on. That disturbs my cheta very much, troubles me very much. Then continuing with the third canto, in Brahma's prayers for creative energy, because he has this service, that he realizes, I don't have the capacity without empowerment. And so he prays to the Supreme Lord for the empowerment. And he prays for his cheta, his consciousness, to be freed from the contamination of false ego, thinking, I'm the creator. So in addition to the power to do his service, he's praying that his contaminated consciousness is freed by the mercy of Krishna. That's his prayer. Then continuing in the third canto, the four Kumaras, after it's part of the process of creation, they've been cursed by the gatekeepers, Jain Vijay, and they offer prayers to the Supreme Lord. O Lord, we pray that you let us be born in any hellish condition of life, just as long as our cheta, our hearts and minds, is Prabhupada's translation, are always engaged in service of your lotus feet. Thus, our words will be made beautiful by speaking of your activities. Two more. Continuing with the third canto. Maitreya is speaking about Kardama Muni. Later this is Kardama Muni has married Devahuti, and Devahuti has asked some questions of Kardama. Kardama gives some nice answer and then becomes silent. And in his silence, he's meditating on the personality of Godhead. And Devahuti sees the very peaceful, transcendental, sublime face of her husband, and her cheta becomes attracted. I hope you don't mind hearing different ways in which this word cheta can be used. We'll come back to the Shikshastika. And finally, Kapila in chapter 25, the son of Kardava and Devahuti, is explaining to Devahuti how to, because it's her question, how to go beyond attachment for the temporary, affinity for family, because Kardama is gone and she's feeling her mind is very disturbed. She knows the philosophy, but her mind is disturbed. She knows that it's Maya. She knows that it's his Maya. Can you remove your Maya so I can have clear intelligence and clear mind? The stage in which the consciousness of a living entity is attracted by the three modes of material nature is called conditioned life. But when that same consciousness is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is situated in the consciousness of liberation. So that's it for references. It can mean either one of the two things. And in this case, Chaitadharpa Nimarjanam is the contaminated consciousness becoming pure consciousness. In Kapila's teachings of Sankhya philosophy, one of the 24 elements is Chaita. And one of the ways that Prabhupada has translated Chaita is contaminated consciousness. It's a material element. Now, consciousness is spiritual. It's of the soul. But consciousness that's contaminated by the modes of material nature looks like this. Same as we find in Bhagavad Gita. One doesn't see Krishna. One sees the reflection of the spiritual world on the lake of desire. That's the mind, is the reflecting surface that carries desire. Desire that's separate from Krishna, so you can't see Krishna. That's Chaitadharpa Nimarjanam. Little image from the 1950s, advertising a cleanser that you can use to clean glass. The process of chanting works this way. The heart or the mind or materially sullied consciousness can be cleansed so that then you can see properly. You can see Krishna. You can see things as they are. And without that, you can see things as they aren't and think that's how they are. Be convinced. I'm right. Seeing is believing, right? So now, back again to the Chaitadharpa Nimarjanam, this part, Param Vijayate, glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of the dust accumulated for years. In the image to the right, that's Mahaprabhu and his associates in the Gundicha temple, cleansing the Gundicha temple. You read that section of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Very beautiful, lengthy explanation by Bhaktisiddhanta, Prabhupada quotes, that the cleansing of Gundicha is like the cleansing of the heart, to make it, the heart, an inviting place for Krishna to come. Krishna doesn't want to come to an unclean place. He's already there, but we won't see him unless the heart is made clean. And so the process of chanting is to make the heart clean. So they gather straws and dust and sand. And then after doing it once, they go back and do it again. Once wasn't enough, and there were still some things to be gathered from the second cleansing. The chanting of Krishna's name is a purifying agent that cleanses our hearts of envy, the root cause of our descent to this world, and other bad qualities that we have since acquired, like lust, greed, and anger. So it all starts, there's a root. And that root is turning our attention away from Krishna. There's the fellow in the lower right entering into the Mahatattva, the cloud of material energy, turning his attention away from Krishna. And all of the wonderful association and love of God that's in the spiritual world. Krishna expresses this in this way from this important verse of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7. Icha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapa. So icha is desire, and dvesha is hate. easy to spend a lot of time discussing what that is, but that's what brings us to the material world, and it holds us in the material world, Icha and Dvesha. Just 2 days ago, I just read a verse where Kardava Muni becomes free from Icha and Dvesha, Vimuktena. That the chanting of the holy name is meant to help us overcome those contaminations. This is what it looks like. That's a mirror that's contaminated. And the contamination of the mirror of the heart or the mirror of the mind are these two, Icha and Dvesha. And that accumulates more and more and more and more and more as we ignore Krishna. So the solution is turn your attention to Krishna. Consciousness goes to Krishna. And the easiest form is the sound vibration of Krishna's holy name. There she is, cleansing the heart. And instead of seeing not Krishna, by cleansing, there's the spray can, spray bottle, the Hare Krishna mantra, making the heart clean. That's how it works. Even if one doesn't understand it, it works. As we heard yesterday, Haridas Thakur saying, even plants, insects, you name it, just by hearing, they're becoming benefited by the sound of the holy name. And as the cleansing goes on, the holy name appears in one's heart. Of course, Krishna is already in one's heart. But one can see or feel the presence of Krishna in one's heart in these mature stages. There's a nice reference from Vishnu Dhammotara Purana, where there's a king. He's referred to there as a Kshatra Bandhu, a fallen, or the son of a king that's fallen, not qualified. And he becomes very sinful. And then after some time, a little light goes on, and he says, gee, I need to correct myself from all these sinful activities. So he goes to a brahmana, and the brahmana prescribes means of purification. And he says, I can't do all that. And then the brahmana says, if you can't do all this, then I will tell you one thing, just one thing, that if you do, it's very easy, but you have to do what I say. And he responds, I can't do all those other things. My mind is too fickle. Tell me what this one thing is that can be done using my body and my words. And Vishnu Dhammotara Purana says, O son, whether in hunger, thirst, or falling down, while standing up or lying down, departing or coming, sing the name of Govinda. That's this Cheta Darpana Marjanam. All of this is to help us get a scriptural basis and support for Lord Chaitanya's teachings, although the teaching doesn't modify if you don't know the scriptural references, but it gives strength of conviction to his teaching, his method. There's a nice reference spoken by Shukadeva Goswami, Canto 6. By following the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies or undergoing atonement, sinful men do not become as purified as by chanting once the holy name of Hari. That was involved in the discussion with Haridas Thakur and the envious brahmana. Even once, there's enormous potency. We can't even calculate, consider. We chant a lot of names. And we just really covered miles and miles and miles of dust covering our hearts. Keep cleansing, because the potency is there. And in the mature stage of that cleansing, something very wonderful happens. the condition of fear in the heart is taken away. There's a nice teaching, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11. Bhayam means fear. It's one of my favorite verses these days. Bhayam dutiyam abhinivesh taksyat ishadape tasya viparyayo smritihi. Prabhupada made reference to this so many times. If you hear his lectures again and again, bhayam dutiyam abhinivesh taksyat, it even sounds nice. Ishadape tasya viparyayo smritihi, which means that bhayam, fear, syad, it arises when there's abhinivesh or absorption in dutiya, things that are seen as separate from Krishna. There's no such thing as something that's separate from Krishna. But when you see something as separate from Krishna, fear arises. And ishad apetasya viparya yo smritihi, there's some aversion to Krishna, you know, the attraction, icha and dvesha. Fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as the material body because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. When the living entity thus turns away from the Supreme Lord, he also forgets his own constitutional position as a servant of the Lord. Problema. What's the solution? This bewildering, fearful condition is affected by the potency of illusion called Maya. Therefore, an intelligent person, that's all of you in the room, because you're taking shelter of the holy name. So do so consciously, knowing what's happening when you do so. An intelligent person should engage unflinchingly in the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master whom he should accept as his worshipable deity and his very life and soul. As one matures in this cleansing, this fearfulness dissipates, it is taken away. And our acharyas explain this having no fear, it comes of its own accord. It's not something that you should pursue. In the beginning, somebody may pursue because, you know, they don't like to be afraid and so they chant. But it's a byproduct. It's not the essence of the holy name. It's a secondary. What's the primary? Taking shelter. Focus on the primary, and the secondary is taken care of. Bhakti does not depend on other elements, and same for the holy name. The holy name stands on its own. It will carry you to Krishna, and that as you're being carried to Krishna, this mature stage of cleansing is taken care of. Fear is gone. And finally, the spiritual form of the living entity is revealed. That's unpacking this Chaitadarpana Marjanam. Okay, you ready for the second one? Chaito Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. That's it. We're just going to do one at a time. So from that, when that cleansing becomes well established, this bhava, it's a very different word than bhava. Bhava is material existence. And the agni means fire. Dava agni is a forest fire. Maha dava agni is the blazing forest fire. Has anyone in this room experienced a forest fire, like in proximity to a forest fire? Yeah. It's intense. I remember one time I was little and my parents were taking a drive to go to the changing of the leaves in Vermont. It's very, very beautiful in the fall season. So colorful. And as we were driving along this little country road in the fall, so it was like a little chilly, there was this heat wave. Whoa, what's that? And as we were winding, off in the distance, we saw a blazing forest fire. It was very colorful, and it was very hot, and we were miles away, what to speak of getting close to it. We just did a U-turn and went back. Very fearful. But the chanting of the holy name, Nirvapanam, it extinguishes the blazing forest fire of bhava, material existence, of repeated birth and death, not only in this lifetime, but again and again. The image, of course, is Krishna's kindly swallowing forest fire. It's such a nice pastime. He did it twice. He swallowed two different forest fires. And when the forest fire was raging, the cowherd boys were particularly fearful of the calves and the cows, because they're their protected items. Just like a father or mother, if their child is in a house that's burning, they'll risk their life to go in the house and save their child. So the cowherd boys were so fearful of the danger that the cows were undergoing, and Krishna told them, close your eyes. And then forest fire was gone. There's a nice explanation of why he asked them to close their eyes. But Krishna can extinguish that blazing fire. And the holy name is like that torrential downpour of rain that can extinguish the blazing fire of material existence. As the chanting of the holy name purifies the heart, that's the first one. Krishna's name also protects sincere chanters from any further contamination from the worldly energy and those affected by it. Made reference to this important verse from Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is describing kama or lust as like fire. The nitya vairina, the eternal enemy of the living entity, is lust, kama rupena. And lust, it's never satisfied, dushparena and analena, anala, burns like fire, lust, never satisfied and burns like fire. But the holy name has the power, like a torrential downpour of rain, to stop that and in fact transform lust into love. Forest fires are very dangerous, very dangerous. May you never have to encounter a forest fire. But I know devotees lived in Colorado and some in California, and when there were forest fires raging, and miles away you can feel the heat. Very dangerous. Nothing can stop it. There's that very nice reference from Katha Upanishad about the fiery circumstance of conditioned souls. It's a discussion. Katha Upanishad is a discussion between Nachiketa, who is a young Brahmin boy, and Yamaraj, at least one section. So his guru, Nachiketa's guru, says, it's time for a fire yajna. Can you descend to Yamaraj's abode and bring back some fire? So obediently, he takes the instruction of his spiritual master. He goes to Yamaraj's abode, and he sees everywhere fire and living entities in blazing flames of fire. And he asks Yamaraj, can I have some of that fire? My guru has asked me to bring some. He said, that's not possible. He said, why is it not possible? He said, the fire is coming from the living entities themselves. before they came here, there was no fire. And sometimes the fire follows them, and sometimes the fire carries them. But you can't take fire from here. It's the nature of sinful life, even unintentional mistakes that bring about a reaction. And how to stop it? That's the chanting of the holy name. You know this from Canto 6. After hearing the hellish planets in Canto 5, Maharaj Parikshit wants to know, wow, what can be done to stop people from having to experience those hellish planets? And Karmakanda doesn't do it, Gyanakanda doesn't do it, Bhakti alone does it, starting with the chanting of the holy name, and thus the story of Ajamila. Bhava maha davagni nirvapanam. Another example that sin itself ignites fire, the fire of material existence. From the story of the king Sagara, he was to perform an Ashvamedha yajna, and the horse was stolen by Indra, and Indra took the horse and kept it at Kapila's ashram, the bottom of the universe. His 60,000 sons were sent out, go find it, the horse. They couldn't find it. They came back and reported. He said, you got to find it. No isn't an acceptable answer. Go anywhere in the whole of the universe, find the horse. So they went to the bottom of the universe, and there they saw the horse. And they thought, aha, the thief. So they took their weapons and they started to attack Kapiladev. And all 60,000 of those sons of Sagara, their bodies burst into flame immediately. Listen carefully. Shukadev Goswami says that it's a misconception. There are some narrations of this. This is right in verse. From the eyes of Kapila, some fire came and they got burned because of they were attacking him. He said, that's not possible. He's Shanti, very peaceful. Rather, it was their own sin burst their bodies into flames and their whole bodies became incinerated. That's what Shukadeva Goswami says. So, Bhava maha davagni nirvapanam. How do you get the nirvapanam part? Other methods don't work. They're inadequate. The bhakti process starting with the chanting of the holy name. Therefore, Sutta Goswami teaches in Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Canto 12. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Hari, the congregational chanting of whose holy names destroys all sinful reactions, and the offering obeisances unto whom relieves all material suffering. Nice. These are scriptural supports for what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching. What are the excellences of the chanting of the holy name? Here's another. This is Canto 6, Chapter 2. Shukadev Goswami says, other processes cannot be successful because even after following such methods, one takes to fruitive activities again, unable to control his mind, which is contaminated by the base qualities of material nature, namely passion and ignorance. So other processes can take one up, 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 up. And then down, 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 down. Anyone that's done any of those processes knows what I'm talking about. One college program, some kids came up after the class saying, I'm really getting a lot from meditation. I've experienced, there's this whole other reality of higher consciousness, but I can't stay there. What to do? And then there were two other kids, and one said, I found something online, you spend $50 and they'll give you this little gadget, you can wear it around your neck and you can become, you know, you can stay up there. Commercialism. Without shelter of the holy name and shelter of Krishna, it's not possible. The modes of nature are going to continue to pull the living entity down, 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 and then something, and then down, 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 up. It's like a Ferris, like a child on a Ferris wheel. Do 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 do. Endlessly. No solution. Feels good. Then you're going back down again. The process of bhakti is meant, even when there's cause of disturbance, like the surface of water where the rain is falling, the mind can remain undisturbed. That's when this bhava maha davagni situation is achieved. Confirmed in Brahma Samhita, in Brahma's prayers, karmani nirdehita kinchu jabhakti bhajan. This is towards the end of all these beautiful Brahma Samhita prayers, where Govinda, for the devotee, he minimizes or nullifies reactionary influence of our past deeds. So this phrase included in the commentary, this bhakti bhajam, means all forms of Bhagavad Dharma. So it starts with chanting, and chanting awakens the desire to be in service to Krishna. And then there's other forms of service to Krishna. It starts from chanting. I hope you're still with me. Yeah? What can I say? I like our scriptures. And our scriptures give... Hear it carefully. It's not just information. There's a lot of information. It's interesting information. But more than information, hear the message in such a way it touches your heart. And you feel something. Like faith. You're going to hear something now about faith. According to Jiva Goswami, in his longest of the Sandarbhas, Bhakti Sandarbha, he discusses how faith arises more from chanting than from any other thing. Any other thing. Here's one of his texts, Anucheda is called. By performance of kirtan, one attains faith in the Lord far greater than the faith attained by meditation or any other spiritual practice. And faith is essential. Faith is very powerful. By meditation performed in Satya Yuga, one does not attain the same deep faith in the Supreme Lord. Now, the methodology of Jiva Goswami is he makes statements. Da, 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 da. And then after making statements, he gives his scriptural support for those statements. So that's the statement. Powerful. In Satya Yuga, the process is meditation, and faith in the Supreme Lord isn't as powerful as chanting of the holy name in kirtan. We're not qualified at all, but we have such a merciful process. Here's his scriptural reference. Skanda Purana, it is said, in Kali Yuga, the great devotees worship the Lord by performing kirtan. And his explanation. These words of Skanda Purana glorify the performance of kirtan, which brings great faith in the Supreme Lord. The Lord, who is very merciful to the fallen souls, does not reveal any spiritual path better than kirtan. Not that anybody in this room has doubt, but this is nurturing your faith. We're doing the right thing, and we need to do the right thing in the right way, and be conscious of what the right way is and why we should do it in the right way, so we can get to this final stage. In the world, Buddhism has become very popular. Yes? There's a devotee in New Jersey, Ramana Krishna Prabhu, who is a professor at Stevens Institute of Technology. And he shared with me about a week ago, the whole of the university is receiving this speaker at Stevens Institute of Technology, and the topic is Buddhism, how Buddhism can solve all the problems of the world. But Buddhism, after all, is not theism, or being more direct. It's atheism. Because Buddha, as you know, he rejected the Vedas. Now, how do you know what's beyond that which you can perceive? The only way is this descending knowledge system, and he rejected it. And so instead, he has a teaching that's meant to reduce the toxicity of material existence. So Buddha's teaching, I know this because I visit China and everybody thinks they're a Buddhist, although I found they don't really know what that means. But Buddha's a core teaching, keeping it simple, a core teaching of Buddha is the root cause of suffering is desire. How to become free from suffering? Become free from desire. What's the method of becoming free from desire? Meditation. Meditation on what? Meditation on what's beyond desire. But if you don't have scripture, what's beyond desire? Nothing. Give it a nice name. Nirvana. Ooh. Definition. I invite you, please. You can read this verse. This is Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada is describing in the purport what Krishna is saying in the verse about samadhi. And this word nirvana appears in the purport twice. And nirvana, quote, cessation of material existence, unquote. So what's on the other side of material existence? Nothing. And what's the goal? Nothingness. Why? Because I don't like suffering. But what's on the other side of nirvana? The holy name. Read the purport carefully. In the purport, Prabhupada says that these two excellences, Chaita Dharpana Marjanam and Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam, that's nirvana. And that's all the first two. There's five more. But if you're a Buddhist, you don't know what's beyond nirvana. That's it. That's the goal. Nothingness. And at Stevens Institute of Technology, the goal of nothingness is going to solve the world's problems. No, it's not to deprecate the importance of compassion, controlling the mind, not chasing after material desire and nonviolence, and those things are nice. But it's not complete. The holy name takes you beyond that. That's the message here. And what Prabhupada writes in the purport makes reference to Canto 2, Chapter 10, Text Number 6. Because in the beginning of Canto 2, Chapter 10, there's two verses that say the 10 topics of the Srimad Bhagavatam are, and list them. And one of them is liberation, moksha. Then to explain what moksha is, that's what it is. Svarupena vyavastati. Sva rupa. What's beyond nirvana is sva rupa. In your own form, vyavasati. Your life in that spiritual position, that's what's beyond nirvana. That's what the Bhagavatam teaches. And the holy name can take you there. With faith in the holy name. Very powerful. Very powerful. That's this consciousness reaching out to Krishna in the form of his holy name, which then leads to consciousness reaching out to Krishna in all of your activities through this one activity. Then all your, when Krishna consciousness is awakened, it permeates everything that you do. One more, and we're done for this morning. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vidharanam. So, Shreya, new bhakta in the Hare Krishna movement, hearing Prabhupada say, in Sanskrit there are two words. There's more than two words. Shreya and Preya. And Preya means short-term benefit. Shreya means long-term benefit. And a devotee is interested in long-term benefit. Then he gives the example. A child, they like to play. But at some stage, mother and father say, you can't just play all day, you have to go to school. And they go, oh, I don't want to go to school, I want to play. Well, one day you're going to grow up, and you're going to need education, and so you have to defer some of that playing time and do some study, because there's Shreya, long-term benefit. So here, Prabhupada is translated as good fortune. And the Kairava is the white lotus of good fortune that expands, Vitaranam, in the moonshine of the holy name. So there's a white lotus of good fortune. Now, the rays of the benediction moon, that's the name, expands the petals of the white lotus. At night, those of you that have seen lotuses know that in the morning when the sun rises, the lotus opens, and at night when the sun sets, the lotus closes. So it's night. Kali Yuga is darkness. So good fortune, the white lotus of good fortune, is petals are closed. What to do? Then the benediction rays of the holy name serve like light. It opens the lotus. The white lotus of good fortune expands in the presence of the holy name. So after, what comes after nirvana or cessation of material existence, what's next? White lotus of good fortune is expanded just from chanting the holy name. In Brahma's prayers to Krishna, 10th canto, chapter 14, he has faith and he has realization that the bhakti process is better than gyan, better than karma. It's the best. It's the best part of the Vedas. Now, he's saying this in a prayer, my dear Lord, devotional service unto you is the best path for self-realization. And this devotional service that's the best path is best awakened through the chanting of the holy name. So, what question can arise? Why is it that the lotus isn't the source of benediction, but it's the moon? Well, the good fortune that's natural for us, it's natural for us, it's dormant without the connection with Krishna. And the connection with Krishna is through the name. So it's the name that awakens the petals of the white lotus of good fortune. That's the source of benediction, the name. Say it in a different way. The hankering when we're chanting is not just get on the other side of difficulty. The hankering should be being connected with Krishna. And the others are byproducts. Overcoming fear, finding happiness, finding good fortune. Connect with Krishna. And if you don't have that consciousness, then you're in this mixed consciousness and the full effect isn't going to be experienced. That's part of the contaminated consciousness that we have to get on the other side of. So here's one other reference from this Katha Upanishad, where in an ongoing discussion with Yamaraj, between Yamaraj and Nachiketa, here's the verse. Shreyas cha prayas cha manusham etas. The wise reject the prayas and choose instead the shreyas, that which is permanently beneficial. The foolish choose the prayas, which with its resultant conceptions of gain and the acquisition of fleeting pleasures. Same point, just with another scriptural reference. And Shreya Uttama, that's Krishna, not just good fortune versus ill fortune. The long term is the Shreyas, permanently beneficial. Sat. Connect with Sat. They're almost done. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vidharanam. The Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. Last text. Chanting awakens Shreyas, pure devotion to Krishna. The soul's dormant propensity to serve the Lord with love, and further chanting reveals the loving devotion which qualifies one for the greatest good fortune, Krishna's association. That's this retention message that Ritadvija Swami was speaking about yesterday. Intention, attention, retention, or Krishna's association. That's what's beyond nirvana. It's if you reject the Vedas, if you're a follower of Buddha and reject the Vedas, then you're lost. Krishna, at least, is lost to you. You will not come to that conclusion. Unless there is this good fortune of association of devotees, and in the good association of devotees, there's Nama Sankirtan with the devotees, and people like Nama Sankirtan, but they have different ideas of what Nama Sankirtan, they like, it's a feel-good experience. So they like to feel good. It's experiential, not just conceptual. But then the modes of nature capture them again and back to business as usual. It's 9 o'clock. I have till 9:30. So I want to share one other little story and then we'll see if there's some discussion. So we have the portable microphone ready. One of the things that I do in the course of my travels is visit China, and I really like my experience in China for many reasons, but one of them is it's reconfirmation again and again that the soul is naturally attracted to Krishna. Because in China, they've never heard. They don't even have a word in their language for God. It was a challenge to translate Sri Bhagavan Uvacha into Chinese. Can you imagine? There isn't a word for God. They had to make something. So, maybe 10 times I've been in programs where it's completely new audience. They don't know nothing about nothing. And at the end of, you know, some activities, at the end of the day, then a nice kirtan. 10 times, the first question from somebody in the audience is along these lines. Something happened when we were singing, we were doing this mantra meditation. I was feeling some feelings I've never felt before. Tears were coming from my eyes. My whole body was trembling. What was that all about? Was I doing something wrong? Awesome. That the holy name is so powerful. Without even a conception. I mean, there's the conscious soul is there. Conscious and consciousness. And when consciousness is brought in contact with Krishna, even without knowing who or what Krishna is, it's just mantra meditation. Because we have to be careful using the God word in, you know, different forms. So, just mantra meditation. Powerful. It awakens this shreyas beyond nirvana, the attraction for Krishna's association, good fortune, benedictory, shreya kairava chandrika vitaranam. Okay, so let's see if there's any questions or comments from anybody. You've been very patient, so I can congratulate you all.
When you were mentioning about the story from the Vishnu Dharmottar Puran,
yeah,
where the Brahmana says that if you can't do anything else, just do this. So I was having the doubt that we don't know when this happened, like in which yuga, etc. So I was having the doubt that how does this compare to other methods in other yugas, which are the recommended processes in other yugas. But then in Bhakti Sandarbha, what you mentioned, like even chanting is more powerful than even meditation in the Satya Yuga. So that cleared my doubt there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Doubt-free soul. Look at that.
But I had one question.
Is it a doubt?
Yeah.
Let's hear your question.
You mentioned that it cleanses the heart. I don't have a proper understanding of what heart means.
Okay, that's what I did, these six different references about Chaita.
Okay.
And it can mean different things depending upon the circumstance. In the case of Shikshastaka, the first part, Chaita Darpan Marjanam, it means contaminated consciousness. It can mean different things. That's what it means in that case. And consciousness, the seat of consciousness is the soul. The soul is within the heart. So it can be taken that way or metaphorically. Okay. Anyone else?
Maharaj, in the beginning of the class, Maharaj, Your Holiness, you were mentioning about there are two texts. One was Bhakti, Thakur's Bhajana Rahasya. I could not catch the other book from Maharaj.
I can't remember it. That's why I didn't mention it.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It's a book written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur where he goes into Shikshastaka as a map for the chanting of the holy name. I'll research it and find out and let you know.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So I was just thinking about that chanting, it's written that chanting awakens pure devotion, but as you go on chanting, it converts it to loving devotion. So what's the difference between pure devotion and loving devotion?
What is it?
What is the difference between pure devotion and loving devotion?
Well, it's a matter of degree, just like where devotion matures and it becomes love. You're a devotee. or trying to be a devotee, like all of us, trying to be a devotee. So there's devotion. And in the topmost stage of devotion, it's prema. Now, one can use the term pure devotion, even, listen carefully, according to Rupa Goswami, even if you're cultivating pure devotion. Correct? So the mature stage is love. And the immature stage is you're cultivating. Sadhana is also part of uttam bhakti. It's the unripened stage of prema. We keep maturing and growing. Yes? Should I give an example or it's clear? Yes, it's clear. Should I give an example or is it clear? Give an example, okay. Here's a multiple choice question. You ready? Which of the following is Tulsi? A Tulsi seed. B, a Tulsi seed that's been germinated and it's starting to sprout. C, a Tulsi that's starting to sprout and it becomes, there's many leaves. D, a Tulsi is when those many leaves produce manjaris. Whatever the next one is. E, it's when there's a seed that's produced by those manjaris. Or then finally, it's all of the above. All of the above. Does that answer your question? Anything else? Back here? Oh, okay.
Thank you, Krishna Maharaj. One question I have, in the process of taking this cleansing process, isn't
taking
it
which process?
The cleansing process.
Cleansing process.
Isn't it true that one should attempt to live a minimalist life?
Minimalist life?
Yeah.
Well, depends. I mean, it's easy to say yes, but it depends means what's sustainable? What is Rupa Goswami's definition? What's the Sanskrit? Hari Sambandha Vastana Mamukshi Bipratyogabhai. Anasaktasya Vishayan. Yatarham upayunjitaha. Familiar? So, anasaktasya vishayan. Vishaya means sense gratification. Without attachment to sense gratification, yatarham is translated as according to suitability. That's pretty, you know, fuzzy. According to suitability. Which means, for Ambarish Maharaj, he can have unlimited opulence and it's suitable for him to have unlimited opulence because he's not attracted to it. For somebody else to have a little something, they're attracted to it and attached to it. So now I'm, you know, Vishnu Das and I want to go forward in Krishna consciousness. And, you know, what does it mean for me to minimize? Going to be different for different people. So where you can be steady. I know this one devotee. He's not a devotee anymore. But it was during this period of time when devotees were doing Nirjala Ekadasi. So he wasn't qualified to be the minimalist. And one day we caught him in the walk-in boga refrigerator. He offered everything, was gorging himself because he was like trying to be a, you know, minimalist. But his senses were out of control. So what's suitable for one person may not be suitable for another person. According to suitability, is variable. And even in one's own life, we should be striving to reduce and that striving should be according to something that you can sustain. And let's say Ekadasi. Each of us have an opportunity twice a month to observe Ekadasi. We should do something that's minimizing, but it should be something that you can maintain. Extra chanting, diminishing austerity, something, something. According to suitability. Yataram upayunjitaram. Nirbanda Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagya Uchate. That help? We should always be striving to move the fulcrum a little bit further, a little bit further. Because according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if you don't, then you're not going to progress. So we need to, but in increments, in sustainable increments.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. When you were speaking on excellence two, of
yes.
The
Bhava Mahadavagni, that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
You were saying that Krishna's name.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, go ahead. Someone's phone was ringing.
You were saying that Krishna's name protects sincere chanters from any further contamination from worldly energy, and those affected by it. To what stage do we have to be able to be chanting to be further protected from contamination in this way?
Say the question again slowly and clearly and a little louder. What is the... Say it again. Not the whole preamble, just the question.
Okay. You're saying that Krishna's name protects...
Just the question.
To what stage do we need to continue
chanting?
To what
stage? Stage?
Yes. What stage do we need to continue chanting in order to be protected from further contamination by the material energy?
Well, it's forever. You want to hear a Prabhupada story?
Please.
Okay. I thought you'd like it. One time, I wasn't there, but the devotees that were there, in Prabhupada's schedule in the afternoon, he would receive guests, and there weren't guests, and he would have a little gathering of devotees in his quarters, kind of like a room conversation situation. So one afternoon there wasn't a guest, so the devotees were in Prabhupada's quarters. This was in New York. And Prabhupada put a question forward. What's the difference between you and me? And the devotees were having a great time. Prabhupada, you're this, and Prabhupada, you're that, and we're not, and you're this, and you're that. So it was a lovely glorification of Prabhupada. Then it became time for the evening class, so he stopped, the fun, and said, the difference between you and me is you can fall down and I cannot. Jai Prabhupada! And everybody got up and went to the temple room, and Prabhupada came before the deities and paid obeisances, and with folded palms he was offering some prayers. And the devotee right next to him, his servant, noticed he was offering some prayers. And then Prabhupada went to the Vyasa Sanjaya Radha Madhava Bhagavad Gita class in the evening, and then came back to his room. So the devotee asked Prabhupada, I noticed you were offering some prayers. May I ask, what were those prayers when you were greeting the deities? Prabhupada said, I was praying to Krishna, may I never fall down, and may I always be engaged in your service. And then the devotee said, but Prabhupada, before class you said the difference between you and me is, you and us is, you can never fall down. Then Prabhupada said, now you know why. I am always praying to Krishna. Someone else? Are we done? We can end class early. That's no problem.
You said that Nam Alwar, he sat under the tree, you know. Name Sriman
Alvar. Nam Alvar.
So we have heard about Tamal tree, banyan tree. Was there anything special that he went under that particular
tree? He wasn't under, he was in the hollow of a tamarind tree. He just happened to be in the courtyard of the temple room, of the temple compound. Not directly in front of the deity, but over there on the side, there was a tamarind tree. And it was a hollow in the tamarind tree. He was a little baby. And he crawled into the hollow of the tamarind tree and stayed there. Maybe it was a special tree, a special soul that got Nam Alvar's association. Who knows? Okay, we're going to end early. Look at this. Oh, there's one more question back here.
The tree where Nam Alvar sat, the incarnation of Adi Shesha, that's how Sri Sampradaya says, the tree itself came before Nam Alvar came to give him shade.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the Adi Shesha as per that.
Adi Shesha, look at that.
He sent Adi Shesha first to give him shelter.
Just see, we have a scholar in our midst. Makes sense, completely makes sense. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.